Father, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. And thank you, Lord, for what resurrection means for us. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. We thank you for raising him from the dead to show that there is nothing that you cannot do. Thank you, Lord, for where Jesus sits today, which is the reason for our hope. It is the reason why we can believe that one day you will come and take us all with you, that where you are, there we may be also. We thank you for this Easter Sunday, and thank you for all the lessons and messages of Easter. I pray, Lord, that you will bless our time together in your word this morning. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things. Teach us something new. Encourage us and lift us up. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Well, I bring you greetings from Ghana. And yes. And from our Papa the Bishop. Amen. And I believe he's doing well, and God is continuing to bless the ministry and bless the church. Amen. Last Friday, they had the Easter service at a special place called the Independence Square, and the whole place was filled with Lighthouse Chapel members. It is amazing what the Lord has done with our church. Amen. And I believe there are great things in store for us. Amen. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Because we are of the same stock. We have the same DNA. Amen. And so God is getting ready to lift us up and to continue to bless and do the work that he has started with us. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, by the way, he's coming into town. Amen. Yes. He's coming into town. And the date, I think April 20th to the 23rd, isn't it? 20 to 23. Amen. And I want to encourage all of you to get your tickets. This morning I bought some tickets and I got a really good price. So I want to encourage you to buy your ticket today. If you buy it today, you'll get a really good price like I got this morning. Amen. And it will be a blessing to you. The venue is Memphis, of course. If you want to drive to Memphis, go ahead. Just don't add me. Amen. But that's also possible. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to take time to discover the country by just driving. You know, when you drive, you get to know and see places and such events and occasions are an opportunity for you to do that, because there's no reason why you get up one day to say you're driving to Memphis. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you have a chance like this, it's good to take it, and I believe it's going to be a blessing. How many of you have registered already for the camp? Raise up your right hand. Let me see. Okay. Just a handful of you. Okay. More people. All right. So I want you to take a step further to buy your ticket also. What do you think? Yes, purchase your ticket, and so that you can make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you will not be left behind when it's happening. It's going to be a great time. I tell you, the sort of anointing that is on Bishop at this time, I mean, You will see the difference between the last time you saw him and now. You know, I have just come from Ghana. You know, you better believe what I'm saying. Hallelujah. And I believe that you should not miss that encounter. Whatever you're going to do to be there in Memphis over those days, make sure you do it. And let's all go there to Memphis. Amen.
Amen.
And it will make a big difference in your life. Hallelujah. All right. Now, on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to share with you a very simple and short message. Amen. And the title of the message is that God will give you a second chance.
Wow.
Amen. God will give you, maybe not, let me not say a second chance. Let me say God will give you another chance. Amen. Because some of us have already blown the second chance. So if I say God will give you a second chance, then you will say, oh, is that all? Because some are on their fourth and fifth chances. But your day of blowing chances are over in the name of Jesus. Your day of destroying opportunities that God has given you are over.
Amen.
You're entering from this Resurrection Sunday a new era of your life where your eyes will be open to the blessedness of the opportunities that God gives you, and you will take advantage of those opportunities rather than let them pass you by and let them be destroyed and wasted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
I said if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Because the prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will work for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's start reading from Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, God will answer a lot of your questions.
Amen.
Some of the things you're wondering about and wondering, what am I going to do? When you get there, you will find out that God has already stepped ahead of you to sort it out for you in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it? They were going to the place and they were not sure what is going to happen. See, I remember how the disciples, you know, were with Jesus, and Jesus brought an idea that let's feed 5,000 people, you know, and they were just wondering. If somebody asks, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Another person said 2,000 or 200 penny worth of bread will not be enough. Even if everybody was to just pinch a piece like communion, you know, it won't be enough, you know. But the Bible says he himself knew what he would do. It says he asked them the question, just testing them, because he himself knew already what he would do. I want you to know that before you meet that question, God has already ordained and predetermined what he will do about that situation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Before you ever had a question, God already had an answer. Before you ever had the question, God already had it all worked out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you seen any of those, you know, like students, especially in primary or elementary school, they have these books like practice questions with answers in the back? Yeah. The book that you buy actually comes with both the questions and the answers. But the answers are upside down and they are in the back. And so you don't readily know that the day you bought the questions, you also bought the answers. That as you were walking around, you don't only have the questions, but you have the answers too. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And smart people, when they discover the questions or the answers at the back, suddenly they begin to smile and they realize that all these problems, you see, one of the names for questions is problems. So all these problems already have answers in the back. The answers are already there. Hallelujah. There are answers waiting for you. On this Resurrection Sunday, know that God has a plan and that God has not abandoned you, God has not left you out, and God already has answers for you. Hallelujah. God already has answers for you. He says, they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. For it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment. See, that's why we're wearing white today. Do you see? Like, long white garment, like Brother Daniel's garment. Brother Daniel, can you stand so people can see what a long white garment looks like? Yeah. Long white garment. Wow. Hallelujah. So this gentleman was wearing a long white garment and they were affrighted. Affrighted. Hallelujah. Next time you want to ask someone if they are afraid, ask them, are you affrighted? Be not affrighted. Hallelujah. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Then he says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Say amen. Amen. He said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Hallelujah. As though Peter was not one of the disciples. Isn't it? But it looks like this angel wanted a special message to be delivered to Peter. Isn't it? He wanted Peter in particular to receive a certain message. Hallelujah. Now, when you read a little earlier in the story about the crucifixion of Jesus, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and from verse 65. Matthew chapter 26 and from, actually, let's start from verse 31. From verse 31. Matthew chapter 26 and from verse 31. It says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Hallelujah. Yet will I never be offended. Hallelujah. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night, that's tonight, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Hallelujah. I mean, these guys were so sure of themselves. They were so confident in their commitment to the Lord. And they couldn't see from where they were what reason or what circumstance would give them cause to deny Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Peter that by tonight, before the cock crows, you would have denied me three times. In fact, he even introduced the word verily. That means surely. You see? And I would have thought that Peter should have taken note of that. that if the Lord says verily, because having walked with Jesus, he must have heard the word verily many times. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, this same verily has been applied to your commitment. That's when he should have shut up and started praying and asking God for mercy. Hallelujah. We must be careful not to be too confident. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not to be too confident, but to trust in God's mercy and trust in God's help. Hallelujah. We should learn to talk and punctuate our statements and language with the expression, by the grace of God. We must talk like, if God wills, by the grace of God. A good Christian must always acknowledge that it is the grace of God that makes us what we are. That we are what we are by the grace of God. That we are able to do what we do by the grace of God. That we will go to such and such a place tomorrow by the grace of God. That if God wills, then this and that will happen. It is all by the grace of God. Hallelujah. If you pass your exam, it is by the grace of God. If you have a job today, it is by the grace of God. If you are alive and well today, it is by the grace of God. If you are breathing and you feel good, it is by the grace of God. It is never by your smartness. It is never because you are exceptionally intelligent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you're married, it is by the grace of God. If you're single, even that is also by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Everything is by the grace of God. And we must learn to trust in the grace of God and humble ourselves and not be too confident in our own strength and what we can do for ourselves. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? Right. So now down the line, verse 65 of Matthew chapter 26, verse 65, when Jesus has been arrested and the story has developed, the events have advanced quite significantly, then the high priest rent his clothes saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? So they were beating up Jesus Christ, you know, and the Bible says they were buffeting him, or if you like, they were buffeting him. That means everyone was taking their shot and beating him as much as they liked. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? They were buffeting him, you see, and hitting him from all angles and asking him, who hit you? Tell us, since you say you are the Christ, you know. Now, it was at this very low moment in Christ's life when people were spitting on him. People were looking down on him and hitting him with different things and from different angles in different places, you know, that Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him and to them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath this time, I do not know the man. That means this time he said, I swear. You know, I swear. He said, give me anything to swear by. And he said, I swear, I do not know the man. You know? And then after a while, came unto him, they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. That means betrays you. Because when you're with people, soon you start talking like them. Isn't it? And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Hallelujah. Sometimes people laugh at us and they say, you lighthouse people. You lighthouse people. You lighthouse people. And they start to accuse us because they say that we lighthouse people have a way of talking. But you can see that the way they identified Peter was his way of talking. Do you understand? He's probably he was saying forgive. Saying mercy. Atonement. What a shock. Yeah. When someone spat on Jesus, Peter probably looked at them and said, wow, what a shock. So one of the guys says, no. You are sitting here saying, what a shock. You must be one of them. Hallelujah. So when you're with the group, it's good to talk and sound like the group. It's a blessing. Amen. So he began to curse and swear, which was unlike the way the group talked. Do you see? Because he now felt under pressure to talk in a different way, to deny the group and to distance himself from the group so that he is not associated with the group. So he began to curse and swear. Something that when you read the whole time we meet, from the time we meet Peter up to now, he's never cursed anybody. He's never sworn at anybody. But now Peter is cursing and Peter is swearing. You know, and he says, I know not the man. I don't know him. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Hallelujah. He went out and wept bitterly. You know, I have come to see that sometimes the way things go in life, the very thing you said you wouldn't do is exactly what you find yourself doing. And sometimes you even wonder, what came over you? You wonder, what is it that happened to you or that got into you that made you say this again or made you do this again, that made you do exactly what you said you wouldn't do, exactly what you were watching yourself not to do? Because this is not too far from when Jesus told Peter, you know, you're going to deny me. Jesus said, it's tonight, this night. You're going to deny me three times, you know. And Peter, from where he was, could not imagine. He couldn't see how things could change so drastically that within a few hours, you know, someone who is saying that I'm going to be with you all the days of my life. The person who said, you know, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. He said, even though all men should deny you, here is one person you can count on. If you're looking for someone who will stay with you, someone who will stick with you, someone who will love you and someone who will be with you, then look my way, Jesus. He said, I will surely be here. I will be here for you. Then suddenly, this person, a few hours later, is saying, you know, I don't know you. I don't know you. And even changes his language to prove that he has not been with you. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, the cock crows and he's convicted because he remembers what he said. He remembers how he made a promise to the Lord, that this is the last time I'm going to do this. I believe that many of us have made many promises to the Lord. This is the last time I'm going to do this. This is the last time I'm going to drink. This is the last time I'm going to commit fornication. Fornication means sleeping with somebody you're not married to. So this is the last time I'm going to do something like this. This is the last time I'm going to tell a lie. This is the last time I'm going to cheat somebody, you know. And then just a few hours, a few days, a few weeks after the commitment, you find yourself doing exactly what you said you would not do. And I know that sometimes it's heartbreaking. It says Peter went out and wept bitterly because he felt so sorry. He felt really bad about what had happened. He felt really terrible that when Jesus needed him most, I tell you that Jesus was probably experiencing his lowest moment. If there was a time when he needed someone to stand by him, this should have been the time. This would be the time when Jesus would need anybody who could see any good thing in him to stand up for him. Because the people had accused him of blasphemy. They had accused him of saying what he hadn't said. They had taken his words and they had twisted his words and they had given his words a meaning that he did not intend. And these were the charges that were brought against him. And our Lord could not find anybody who would stand up for him and say that, I know this man, he never said this. Because everybody was afraid for his life. Everybody was afraid to be embarrassed. Everybody was afraid of what others will say. How many times have we not denied the Lord because of what people will say? Sometimes you're sitting on a bus, sometimes you're on a plane, and you feel a conviction to share the word of God with someone. You feel a conviction to even invite someone to church, or even to take your Bible out and read. But we do not want people to associate us with Christ. We feel ashamed. What if we start talking to them and they turn us down? What if they shoo us off? We don't want to suffer that embarrassment. And that causes us often to deny Christ when we should have been standing up for him. When we should have been saying that I know him, regardless of what people will think of you. Because in today's world, the world has become so godless that you look odd when you are godly. You look odd when everybody is drinking and you say, I don't want to drink. And they ask you why. Then you say, for health reasons. You say, it's for health reasons because you don't want it to be associated with Christ. Because you will look silly and you will look like an idiot before unbelievers. Do you see what I'm saying? So Peter looked at the situation and he felt really bad. Hallelujah. But on resurrection day, the angel of the Lord sent a message to Peter. He sent a message by those women and said, take this message to the disciples. Go and tell the disciples that Jesus Christ is risen and he's not here. But give a special message to Peter. He said, I know how Peter may be feeling. I know how Peter may be feeling about his mistake and about what he has done. But I want you to send Peter a message and let Peter know that I still believe in him. Let Peter know that all hope is not lost. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That just because he made a mistake doesn't mean it's over. Amen. That the future is bright. Amen. That there are better days ahead. Amen. That Peter can still rise up and lead the church. Amen. See, this guy who is crying bitterly here is the same person who spoke on the day of Pentecost before 3,000 people came to join the church. Wow. He's the same person who preached Christ. This fellow who was, you know, so weak in his mind and conviction about Christ that he would deny him before a little maid is the same person who stood up before the multitude and told them that you guys crucified Jesus Christ. Yeah, in no confused terms at all. He said, you guys, he said, I'm talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. And the people were just standing there. Hallelujah. God must have known why he didn't give up on Peter. Because God could see more in Peter than his denial of Christ. Hallelujah. God could see more in Peter than the mistake that he had made, than the sins he had committed. God could see much more in Peter than Peter could even see in himself. Are you understanding my message this morning? That is why God sent him an encouraging word. Sometimes what we need is an encouraging word. When you are down and you feel out, when the demons have assembled around you to talk to you and to remind you of your mistakes and remind you of everything you have done wrong, the things you have said that you shouldn't have said, and the things you should have said that you didn't say, the people you should have spoken to that you didn't speak to, and the people you shouldn't have spoken to that you spoke to, and keeps bringing them back and back over and over again. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He specializes in making people feel terrible and making people feel bad. But God always sees something good in people. God can always see something good in people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he sent a message to Peter. He said, go and tell the disciples. He told the women, go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. God is sending you a special message on this Resurrection Sunday. That no matter what has happened, you are not forgotten. And he has not given up on you. Hallelujah. God still believes in you. God still believes in what he put in you. God still believes in a bright future for you. God believes that greatness is scheduled in your future. That you will be great one day. That you can still rise up and be who he has created you to be. That no matter how many times you fall, and no matter how many times you find yourself crawling on the ground, God believes the best of you. There is hope for you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at another character in the resurrection story. And you see them talking about a woman called Mary Magdalene. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Well, maybe if you read Luke chapter 24 first. Luke chapter 24 and verse 10. It says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. Hallelujah. Now, the story of the resurrection, the first preacher of the resurrection, I mean, the first resurrection message that was ever preached was preached by a woman called Mary Magdalene. Do you understand? It says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women which were with them, which told these things to the apostles. Hallelujah. So it wasn't the apostles who saw Jesus having risen first, but Mary Magdalene is the one who had that message. And she took that message to the apostles. Amen. But now in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to who? Mary Magdalene. Isn't it? He appeared first to who? Mary Magdalene. And then the scripture continues to say, out of whom he had cast out seven devils. Hallelujah. You see, because God believes in people in the future. God believes that people get better. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God can see greatness in people who don't even see greatness in themselves. Can you imagine that the first resurrection message was committed to a woman who had a history of having demons in her? Not one or two evil spirits, but seven of them. What if people start to say that the story is not true? Especially knowing her history and knowing that the one who cast out the devils was no longer around. Is it not likely that the demons have come back? Do you see what I'm saying? That he was taking a risk, committing such a precious message. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. You know, it says, if this element is subtracted from Christianity, if we remove the element and the truth that Christ rose from the dead, if it's taken out of Christianity, then everything else we believe is in vain. Our faith does not hold up together without the resurrection story. And this entire story has been committed to someone who used to have devils. Someone who had devils, demons in her, is the one who has the story. Hallelujah. But it is because God believes that people can do better. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That God believes that the way a person is today doesn't mean that's how they're going to be forever. That she used to have devils. You see, if you met Mary Magdalene and you're relating with her based on her past, you may be surprised that things have changed so much. Do you understand? That the Mary Magdalene you knew yesterday is not the same Mary Magdalene today. That something has happened. She had an encounter with Jesus and something has happened. Her heart has changed and she's not the same person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so someone who had seven devils today is worthy of being a custodian of such a precious message. A message that is going to the apostles. A message that is going to go out to the rest of the world. A message that is going to bring salvation to millions and millions and millions and millions of people is committed to someone who has such a past. Hallelujah. I don't know what is in your past. And I don't know what it is that every now and then occurs to you. What it is that every now and then the devil brings to your remembrance. And every time it comes back to your mind or comes to your remembrance, you feel crippled and disabled. Because you feel like you are not worthy of it. You don't deserve to be who you are. You don't deserve to be where you are. You don't deserve to continue in a certain way in Christ. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The Bible says Jesus appeared first to the woman who used to have the demons. First. We are never told that the apostles had any demons. Yeah. When you read the Bible, you don't see that the apostles had any demons in them. At least it's not said anywhere that Peter had seven devils. But this woman, more than once, anytime her name is mentioned, she's associated with the devils that were cast. It must have been a very severe case. You see what I'm saying? And I don't know which devils they were, but they were devils that were living comfortably in this particular woman. Do you see? But Jesus still said, she's the right choice. She's the best person. She's the right choice. That's someone who will believe. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because she loved Jesus Christ. She was deeply committed to Jesus Christ. You should ask, what was she even doing there at the tomb? She had gone to anoint a dead man. That Jesus, alive or dead, meant everything to her. That she was prepared to go to the tomb, you know, with precious ointments and other spices, expensive spices, to go and anoint the body of Jesus Christ. She said, I love him even if he's dead. I love Jesus even if he's dead. I love Jesus even if he doesn't do anything for me. I love Jesus even if I can't have another miracle from him. I love Jesus even though he's dead. I just like Jesus like that. May God put that kind of love in our hearts for Jesus. May we all pray that God will give us that kind of love and affection, deep affection for Jesus that does not depend on what he does for us or does not do for us. Hallelujah. May we have a certain depth of affection for Jesus that he will count us worthy to be custodians of his precious mysteries. Hallelujah. So Mary ran and she went to tell the apostles. That's when the apostles came running. to come to check out the tomb to see if the story was actually true. Hallelujah. It came from someone who used to have demons. Someone who used to smoke. Someone who used to drink. Someone who used to take drugs. Do you understand? Someone who probably slept with people for a living. Someone who had done so many dubious things. And yet she had the message of resurrection. Because God gives people another chance. Because God believes the best in people. God can always see good in people. Hallelujah. It is the reason why God will appear unto Moses, who is a murderer. Someone who is run away and is wanted for murder. That's the person that God chooses to appoint to be a deliverer of Israel. It's like God showing up at the maximum security prison to choose one of the notorious prisoners who is there for murder. I mean, if a prisoner came to tell us this afternoon that he has met the Lord, I'm talking about one who killed someone not too long ago, and he said that the Lord says he should come and deliver us from, even to come and take us in this church to go and show us our next venue for church. Would you follow such a person? Even in spite of our obvious need for a new place. We want a place, but not through that guy. But that's how we miss God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because God can always see greatness in people no matter what they have done before. No matter how many times they've blown it. No matter how many things have gone wrong in their lives. No matter what their reputation is. God can always see greatness in someone. Hallelujah. Same thing with the Apostle Paul. He had collected a lot of prisoners and taken them, thrown them into jail. He was actually in the process of arranging to take the next group to jail. He was on his way to go and fetch them, arrest them, whip them like he used to do, and then put them in jail. But God can see. You know, you and I would not even like such a person. Yeah, and when we see him coming, we're going to go cross the road to the other side and not have anything to do with such a person. But God could see greatness in the apostle. Inside the heart of that murderer, God could see someone who would be useful for writing the New Testament. God could see a church planter. Only God can see a church planter in the heart of a murderer. Do you see what I'm saying? Only God can see someone who can plant churches. God looked at him and he looked at the passion and said, I could use this passion. I could use this passion. I can do something good with this zeal. You know, a person who will rise up on his own, who is not paid to do what he's doing. Do you see? He goes to the high priest and says, you give me the letters. Not the high priest is saying, I have written a letter, I'm making a law, I'm looking for someone to go arrest Christians. But he goes to the high priest and says, look, give me this job. Give me the job of arresting all these Christians. And I'll do it free of charge. No wonder Paul was preaching and was looking after himself. He said, these hands actually have labored and looked after me. He said, I haven't depended on any of you because it's been my lifestyle. I know how to do things with passion and zeal for free. And so Paul proved that God made the right choice. He chose the right person. And I know that when it comes to you also, God made the right choice. God has chosen the right person. He's chosen the right person with the right gifts, with the right interests, with the right passion. You are not a mistake at all. God knows exactly what he's getting out of you. God knows exactly what you are capable of doing. And God knows exactly why he has such a high interest in your life. You must not allow any sins you have committed in the past, any devils that have been in you in the past. You must not allow any history to deny you of what God can do with your life. Hallelujah. On this Resurrection Sunday, I want you to believe that there is another chance for you. I want you to believe that the future is bright, that it will not be like this forever. That if you would truly repent And if you would truly pick yourself up together and start over again and say, Lord, I want to start over again. I want to try it one more time. You will be surprised that even for you, there is hope. That even for you, there is a greater future. There is a brighter future. That your best days are ahead. That you haven't seen anything yet. That the better times are ahead. Your days of smiling are coming. They are just down the road, around the corner. Your best days are coming up. Hallelujah. So believe it. Amen. Believe it. God is sending you a message today, as he sent to Peter on Resurrection Sunday. Go tell the disciples and tell Peter in particular, after you have announced it, call Peter aside and give him this special message that the Lord said to tell you that he's alive. The Lord said to tell you that he's alive. The Lord said to tell you that the denial doesn't matter. That yesterday does not matter as much as today. Because today is what will determine tomorrow. That what you did yesterday is gone. But if you will change what you do today, tomorrow is brighter. Hallelujah. God thinks more about tomorrow than he thinks about yesterday. So I don't know what your yesterday looks like. And I don't know what is in your yesterday. But I do know that God is giving you another chance today. So that your tomorrow can be a brighter day. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this afternoon and let's bring the service to a close. Our time is up. But I want you to pray this afternoon and thank the Lord for another chance. Hallelujah. That God will give you another chance. You know, the devil likes people to live with regrets. He wants you to live with regrets. And as long as your sins are ever before you, you are surrounded by weakness. You are surrounded by a lack of encouragement. And you are surrounded by the absence of motivation to go forward. Because you are sitting in the pool of your mistakes and sitting in a pool of your denials and the things that you have done wrong. But there is a message of hope coming your way today. The Lord is sending a message to you today. It's a personal message to you from the Lord. That it doesn't matter how many times you got it wrong. If you repent today, you can start over again. You can start over again. You can start over again because I believe in you, saith the Lord. The Lord says, I believe in you. I believe in your future. I believe in a greater future. I believe in the brighter day. I believe that tomorrow is better than today. That yesterday is gone. But what you do with the Lord today will decide what tomorrow will look like. And tomorrow need not look like yesterday. Tomorrow need not look like the days that are gone by. Tomorrow need not look like yesterday. When the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you disobeyed, when the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you could not even recognize his voice. When the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and his voice had to contend with other things that had so consumed your heart, that they just drowned and crowded his voice out of your heart and out of your mind. Because of that, you didn't do the things God told you to do. Because of that, you did not do the things that God put in your heart to do. But today is a day of restoration. Is a day of another chance. Is a day of hope. Is a day of restoration of your soul. That God will put you back together again. And set your feet on the road and give you one more chance. to live for Him and to make things right. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray. Everybody just pray. This is a very private moment this afternoon. I want you to pray for yourself and say, Lord, maybe like Peter, when I should have spoken out for you, when I should have stood up for you, I denied you and I pretended I didn't know you. I shut up when I should have spoken. I hid myself because I was so afraid and so intimidated. Because I thought I would lose my job if I spoke. Because I thought they would not like me if I spoke. Because I thought I'd lose my friends if they find out who I really am. And because of that, I did not speak. Because of that, I denied you. Because of that, I even changed my behavior just to fit in so that they would accept me, so the world would accept me. I changed my behavior just like Peter changed his language in order to blend in. But Lord, I'm so sorry today. Oh yes, I am so sorry today. I receive your message, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. In place of Peter, put your name there. And said, go tell the disciples and Joanna. Go tell the disciples and Susan. Go tell the disciples and John. Go tell the disciples and whoever you are. The Lord is sending a special message to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as we close this morning, maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to start a new walk with Jesus today. It's Easter Sunday. It is Resurrection Sunday. It is the day when the dead rises. It is the day when we rise out of dead things and begin to live a new life for God. Today is your opportunity. Today is that chance that the Lord is giving you. You may have had many opportunities like this and have not taken them. But I want to urge you not to let this one pass you by also. God is giving you another chance. Take that chance. Take that chance. Take that opportunity. God is giving you that opportunity today to say, I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. If you're here this afternoon and that is in your heart, I want to pray with you. And while every eye is closed, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'll pray for you. I just need to see who you are. You just need to identify yourself and you just need to show the Lord that you are serious about this prayer and that you are serious about this commitment. That's why you have to raise up your right hand. So just lift up your right hand. God bless you. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just lift up your right hand. We're talking about you and God. We're talking about your relationship with God. We're talking about your relationship with God. Something that affects you so much. That's what we are talking about today. I want you to lift up your right hand and I believe that God is going to help you. Just thank you, Jesus. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of at all. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Just keep that hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Also, if you're here and you know that you have given your life to Jesus, but you have not been serious with that commitment. And you have one foot in and another foot out. And you find yourself going in and out all the time. But God is sending a message to you today. And He wants to help you. God wants to help you to be in once and for all. Never again to step out. I want you also to lift up your right hand and just keep it up. We'll pray together. We will pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Now let us pray together. If your hand is up, just keep it up. If you raised up your hand and you are serious about it, just keep it up. And I want to pray with you. Just while your hand is up, just keep it up. It's your way of saying, Lord, here am I. Here am I. I am right here. And I am saying that I want you, Jesus, to be Lord over my life. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Let's say this prayer together, all of you with your hands up, and everybody join them as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me. Everybody say it, even if you're listening on the podcast or wherever you are. Everybody, let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe in my heart
that you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
God raised you from the dead.
God raised you from the dead.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Say, let your blood wash me.
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 And cleanse me.
And cleanse me.
Though my sins be as scarlet.
Though my sins be as scarlet.
Your blood can make them white as snow.
Your blood can make them white as snow.
Your blood can wash me white as snow.
Your blood can wash me white as snow.
So let your blood wash me.
So let your blood wash me.
Cleanse me.
Touch my heart, Lord,
and help me to live for you.
Thank you, Jesus,
for sending me a special message.
A message about my future.
And a message about your faith in me.
Thank you for believing in me.
Thank you for giving me another chance.
Thank you, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for everyone who raised up their hand and everyone who said this prayer, meaning it from their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them with the grace for salvation. That the Holy Spirit will complete that which you have started. I pray, Lord, that your word will bear fruit in their lives. I pray that these ones will be delivered from evil. They will be extracted from the place of backsliding. They will be extracted from the place of godlessness in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, you will plant their feet in your house and establish them in the truth in the name of Jesus. Bless your people, O God, and make a way for them to be saved and to stay saved. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.